Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. Amen. Friends, I've been a pastor for 38 years now, and as one whose vocation has been dedicated to spreading God's word and the conversion of souls, I confess at times I get discouraged. I wish I could say that people were standing in line to get into our church and Christian school. I wish I could say that our worship services or Bible studies were the biggest act on Mequon's calendar each week. You and I both know that we can't say such things. But it would be just as dishonest to say that the Lord isn't blessing the work that we together are doing, as if the Holy Spirit wasn't bringing people to faith in Christ and keeping them in that faith to eternal glory. We don't always see the results of Jesus' gospel work. In fact, most often we don't. It would be a mistake for our church or any church to judge its effectiveness based on how big its membership list is or how popular that church is in the community. The parable of the sower and the seed before us today is for people like us. I've come to know you as Christian people who really care about people's souls. And you try to talk to them about Jesus. And you wish everyone would listen, but they don't. And you begin to wonder, what am I doing wrong? Or what is my church doing wrong? You're tempted to give up. Until Jesus says, "Way to go, farmer. Just keep on scattering the seed far and wide. Some will listen. One day you will see." It's not about you or me. Jesus says it's about the seed and the soil. And today we'd especially like to take a look at how the Lord sees his garden of salvation. It explains a lot about why the true Christian church is the size it is. It starts by realizing there is such a thing as bad soil. We believe that when it comes to growing things, don't we? Some of you farmers or gardeners out there spend a lot of time, energy, and money making sure your soil is good, soft, well-watered, and full of nutrients. When it's not, we're not surprised by bad results. To understand this parable of Jesus, we have to put ourselves back into a setting before John Deere tractors and powerful cultivators and precise planting machines. Farmers would do their best to break up the soil in their fields, often by hand or with the help of oxen and simple plows. Then they would take grain from last year's harvest and scatter it by hand and cover it over the best they could with a thin layer of soil. Rain and sunshine would do the rest. It was hard work, and not all the seed was productive, like so many of our beautiful farmers' fields seem today. It depended, in part, on where the seed fell. Jesus' parable is a story of God spreading his kingdom of eternal life. It points out the kind of attitudes that can cause a powerful seed of God's word, a word about God's kingdom of salvation, to be unproductive. In that way, these pictures serve as a warning. All throughout Matthew's gospel, including the chapter just before this parable, are stories of people who could not and would not accept the message Jesus came to bring. They criticized him for breaking their Sabbath day regulations. They accused him of healing people with satanic powers. They demanded miraculous signs to prove his authority. It's as if Jesus is telling them, "The problem is not with me or the message of eternal life I am bringing you. The problem is with you and your unbelieving hearts." So it is with many people today. They also need God's warning. Some of them, he would say, are like the seed that fell on the path. In a day when most people traveled by foot, dirt paths packed hard by many feet would be a common sight throughout the grain fields. With time, they could become as hard as concrete. Perfectly good grain might end up on the path without a chance to germinate and sprout. Birds would quickly come and devour it, just like they do the seed in your bird feeder. It never had a chance to grow. Jesus said, this is like the one who hears the message about the kingdom of God and does not understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. Now, don't think of this person as a victim. This person doesn't even try to understand what God is saying to him. He's proud. His rational, earth-based intellect and his overweening pride make him say to himself, Jesus and the gospel message are for simple minds. I'm better than that. I don't need somebody telling me I need God's help. Like birds gobbling up the seed, Satan and his demons are quick to snatch away the life-changing gospel of freedom from someone with such a stony, cold heart. Others of them, he would say, are like the seed that fell on shallow, rocky soil. Don't picture a field full of sharp rocks. Picture shallow soil with a rocky ledge just underneath it. After a rain, seeds could easily sprout in the shallow soil, warming in the sun. Jesus explains this refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. It grows. But there's a problem. Since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away like a plant baking away in the sun. The problem is not believing in Jesus, it's staying in the faith. To use the picture of a plant, they have no root, literally no root in themselves. Again, don't think of this person as a poor victim. They selfishly love the Jesus who is warm and loving and tender and makes them feel happy. But they are shocked when they discover that part of God's will is to allow them to suffer trouble in all kinds, to strengthen our faith, or to suffer persecution from the world because they bear his name. And they say, I can't believe in a God who would allow me or others to suffer this way. That's not the God I worship. Their faith quickly wilts as soon as it is tested. Others of them, he would say, are like the seed that fell among thorns and weeds. The seed sprouts with new life and begins to grow. But there are weeds planted by the devil that grow much faster than the wheat, competing for the water and sunshine and stunting the growth of the grain. Jesus says this ground is like someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Can I say it again? Don't turn this person into a victim. They are allowing two powerful influences to stunt the power of the message of Jesus' sacrifice for them. One is the cares and worries of this life, the performance of their retirement funds, the loss of a job, the concerns over their future, as if they had no Father in heaven who loved them and promised to care for them, just as he cares for the birds in the sky and the lilies of the field. The other is someone who's falling for Satan's lie. You can trust your money and wealth for your security. You don't need God. What a lie. St. Paul warned all of us, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Both of these weedy people may say they trust in Christ, but when it comes to walking the talk, they look like bean plants with no beans on them. What good are they in God's garden? The stubborn path, the shallow soil, the weedy patch. These are all pictures of people who are in danger of losing their souls. Will we admit that they can be pictures of our hearts as well? Whenever we proudly say, I don't have time for God's word. I'm too busy with life. Or whenever we get upset with God in times of pain or sorrow, saying, you had no right to treat me this way. Or when we begin looking a little too much like the world around us, worried about the future and falling in love with wealth. All three of these bad soils are lodged deep within our sinful nature and pose a real threat to faith in Jesus Christ. These attitudes also threaten our meaningful life of service and praise to Him. How carefully we need to watch for bad soil in the garden of our heart. How we need to repent of our hardened, unreceptive attitudes. And how we need to pray for God's Spirit and deliverance from dangers in our own hearts of faith. But our Savior pictures another attitude toward His Word and His kingdom here, giving us reason to hope for His mercy. Jesus calls you good soil. He says, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. What farmer doesn't thrill to see his faithful planting growing a healthy crop, wheat or corn or beans or whatever? Each seed has produced a plant with dozens more seeds or fruits on them. We take it so for granted. But isn't it a marvelous miracle that such a tiny seed can do so much good and feed so many people? God's Word is that way too, miraculous in its power to touch the human heart, give hope to the sinner's soul, inspire faith and hope, and produce good in this sinful world. You heard the Lord of Israel say through Isaiah today in chapter 55, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Just as it is a joyful sight to witness the desert spring into life after a rain shower, so it's a joyful thing when God sends out the seed of His Word into good soil, causing dead souls to spring to life and bringing forth spiritual fruit of faith and love and hope. That's because it is a joyful message at heart. It's a message of a holy God taking every step to be reconciled to sinners who are suspicious of Him. A message of the sacrifice that only He could make as He hand-delivered His only Son, Jesus Christ, into death on our behalf and for our eternal forgiveness and salvation. There's no message like that in the world. It's one of a kind. It's the message of His eternal kingdom, and it's meant for everyone. It's meant for you. Doesn't this parable make you crave deep down to be that good soil that Jesus describes? Much like the Lord's Prayer teaches us to pray, Your kingdom come, both to my heart and to the hearts of many people around me. The new person within us doesn't want to remain the hard path or the rocky soil or a garden full of weeds. We want to be God's garden. More than that, we are His fruitful garden through no work of our own. The gardener has been working on us to make us a beautiful, fruitful place. We praise Him for that, and we yearn for His continued attention. We rightly prayed today, grant that we may so hear the Holy Scriptures, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. We have left the wilderness of sin and death and entered the Eden of fruitfulness of life. We delight in wearing out our Bibles and catechisms and devoting solid time just to hearing what our Father in heaven has to say to us. We find refreshment in hearing His Word preached and in receiving His sacraments. We love bringing forth good fruit, works that God Himself loves to see. And the garden, thank God, grows. As long as we live in a world that is the devil's playground, there will be many who cannot and will not accept God's word. But let's not ever allow that fact to keep us from faithfully scattering the seed of the gospel message far and wide. Thank God that He has made you His good soil. Let's together work to share this life-changing seed energetically and freely. In the words of the hymn, preach you the word and plant it home, and never faint. The harvest Lord, who gave the sower seed to sow, will watch and tend his planted word. Count on it. Amen.